The U.S. Department of Justice's antitrust division tried to block the recent merger between AT&T and Time Warner, but a federal court has allowed it to go ahead. The ruling could set a precedent for other mega mergers between huge telecommunications and entertainment companies. Could that be a risk for consumers, and which ones would potentially be most affected? With me to talk about that is John Bergmeier, senior counsel for the organization Public Knowledge. And John, to what extent could this merger and other possible mergers affect consumers?
Yeah, I think it could affect consumers, not just directly in terms of, you know, maybe paying more. If you're not an AT&T subscriber, they might find ways to make it so that rival video distribution services that still need to carry Time Warner content, or now Warner Media content as they've renamed it, either pay a little bit more or they're under unfavorable terms. But I think the bigger picture is that you see a lot of these people who are incumbents in the video distribution market. So AT&T already owns DirecTV, a major video distributor. It's got already an online video service. In some markets, it's a cable TV provider, essentially. And you've got, you know, the Time Warner content like CNN and HBO. And they're finding ways to combine so that they can basically preserve the business model, the cable TV business model, essentially, which has been so successful for them for so many years. And I don't think that's a business model, really, that a lot of people are too fond of, because they see it as, I have to buy these overinflated bundles. I have to buy 10 channels I don't want just to get the one that I want. The hope was that the internet would really break that apart, because a lot of the basic nature of the cable business model comes about because, you know, they needed to build a whole cable network to every house in a community, or to compete with them, you needed to put satellites into outer space. That is obviously very expensive. And really the hope is with the internet, you could have a multitude of competing video services. And now you do on the internet have a multitude of competing video services, but most of them don't really offer the full kind of content that you can get through a traditional cable subscription.
Certainly in the past, people have worried about mega mergers. Will there be other creative forces that come around? And ultimately, there always seem to be. But is the landscape a little different now, where it'd be harder for a smaller group to break in? As you mentioned, when you have these absolute mega mergers of companies that own the back catalog, but also the current distribution channels to some extent.
A lot of the current environment is a little bit troubling, because we've seen this move towards deregulation on the internet, where ISPs, the net neutrality rules were rolled back, and that means that ISPs no longer have to refrain from discriminating against competing online video services. Like I said before, the internet is this great promise for a more competitive environment, but the broadband connections tend to be owned by companies with an interest in video. And that has usually mostly been a problem with cable companies. Cable companies are the largest broadband providers for the home, and they're also the largest video providers, and really an animating force around net neutrality. It's not limited to video, but we're just seeing, it's like, hey, there's a conflict of interest here. We want to make sure that people can use their broadband connections to access the video services that they want. We've seen now similar moves in wireless. Now AT&T is one of the larger of the wireless providers, and they're already offering their own video service, and they're saying, well, if you use our video service, it's not going to count against your data cap. So I think when you're in an environment like that, where if you want to be a competing online video service, you're operating at a huge disadvantage relative to the services that are either owned by or have some kind of special deal with the ISPs. And also a lot of the video services now are directly integrated with video. So not just AT&T and the Time Warner content, but you also have Comcast. Comcast owns NBC Universal. Comcast has, you know, speaking of, you know, why this merger is sort of unfortunately timed, you know, not only have the net neutrality rules just been rolled back at the FCC, but Comcast is about to come out from under a consent decree it entered into with the Department of Justice when it bought NBC. And the purpose of that consent decree was to make sure that it behaved in a non-discriminatory way with the programming that it was buying, so that it didn't try to use it to harm competitors. And now that's about to go away too.
Could this open the barn door for even more of a mass movement toward mergers like this? I mean, I know there aren't that many companies that are that big, but are we going to see anyone that sort of approaches that level thinking about, well, in order to strengthen and maybe see if we can sort of semi-monopolize, we're going to get together?
Yeah, I mean, you know, what's the limiting principle? I guess maybe you just run out of big companies at a certain point. But in addition, you know, the Comcast, Fox deal was already rumored before we knew how the judge was going to come down on AT&T, T-Mobile, and Sprint and T-Mobile. You know, that merger has been planned and developed and announced and then backed and then unannounced and then reannounced many times over the years. So those were the ones that were just in the works already, pretty much regardless of what happened in this case. The other alternative, you know, Disney is interested in buying the same programming from Fox that that Comcast wants to buy. I fully expect, just given the fact that these mergers tend to come in waves, every time one set of companies merges, other companies say, well, now we have to merge or we're not going to be competitive. You know, we're doing business with them and now they have leverage over us because they're so big, so we need to get bigger to match them. So you have this arms race effect. Partly, you just have, you know, a little bit of a herd mentality, I think, among the financial people. I think just the fact that the AT&T Time Warner deal, which is so massive, just went through, you know, maybe a lot of companies are going to look at that and say, hey, you know, this is our chance. I have every confidence that the Department of Justice is going to continue to enforce the antitrust laws vigorously. But at the same time, I think, you know, there might be some people who view their defeat in court as a signal and use that as a basis to sort of go forward with mergers that, you know, could be just like truly shocking in size.
Is there a hope for the so-called a la carte that people used to talk about so much, that we would actually have enough choices of enough varieties? And is that where, you know, online could have come into play and now maybe won't with mergers like this?
Well, that's a really good question, because a la carte is something, there's a lot of demand for it, and yet it doesn't happen. And why not? It's not to say that all bundles of programming are necessarily bad. You know, when you subscribe to Netflix, you're getting a bundle. You know, you're not buying Netflix a la carte. The problem with the cable bundle is less that it is a bundle per se, but that it is an expensive and bloated bundle where you have no way really of opting out of the most expensive programming. Republicans and Democrats alike have both asked cable companies to provide more choices to consumers. And I think ultimately just asking them pretty please to do it is not going to work. There either needs to be a substantially more competitive marketplace and we need to adopt policies that make it so that happens, or there need to be rules that just require that they make those offerings available, because obviously it's just not going to happen on its own.
John Bergmeier is senior counsel for the organization Public Knowledge.